Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson today in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call, dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to, you can also call in your prayer request at the same number, because we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
Amen. Jehovah, I never need to fear because you are with me. Neither do I need to be dismayed because you are my God. You strengthen me and help me, upholding me with your righteous right hand. In you, I find all I need to fully live out my destiny. Thank you for being my strength, but even greater than that, thank you for the peace I have known. I can rest in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Thank you. December. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to Your name.
Amen. Praise be to God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your presence. Where two or three are gathered in your name, we ask your blessings on our worship this day in the desire that a new encounter with you will empower us for greater service. Forgive us of anything that makes our worship a religious performance rather than a spiritual fellowship. Liberate us from attachments to religious traditions so that we can respond to the free work of the Spirit. We are grateful for the opportunity to give in support of your mission as it is fulfilled through this fellowship. We pray that our gifts are a true indication of greater sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free, and you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. At this time, I will play another selection.
And answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled True Healing. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 41 and 4. And it says, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul. Amen. The writer says, when Jesus healed a paralyzed man who has been lowered through a roof by his friends, the first thing he said to him was, Son, your sins are forgiven. Mark 2 and 5. Jesus, the Lord God, who knew the man better than he knew himself, identified his main issue to be spiritual. Of course, this left everyone around Christ surprised. In their eyes, the paralytic's primary problem was physical. This goes to show that sometimes we will seek out Christ for external issues, our health, finances, relationships, or what have you. However, what he addresses as we spend time with him in prayer is something deep within our souls. This may be astounding to us because we think we know what's causing us pain. But Jesus sees the true root of our woundedness. Of course, Jesus answers the exterior troubles we bring to him as well. He empowered the paralyzed to pick up his pallet and walk. He does the same for you. However, what's important to understand is your Savior wants you to be healed fully, not just on the surface, but inside out. So never ignore what Jesus tells you or pinpoints as the true issue. Trust him as your great physician and accept his order of addressing your needs. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, I trust you to address the true root of my pain and heal me. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God.
Travel near or far
for your glory.
Come on, just I'm gonna make it.
Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will bring a short message. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, and we are going to read verses 19 through 34, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, and this chapter is talking about Esau and Jacob. Abraham dies, Esau and Jacob. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel the Amorite, from Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban the Amorite. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in the womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations from the very beginning. The two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other. And your older son will serve your younger son." And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair, like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebekah loved Jacob. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your rights as the firstborn son." "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First, you must swear that your birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Each of us experience weak moments when we should not make decisions. In a weak moment, a dieter may see an appetizing dessert and yield to temptation. In a weak moment, a tired driver may decide to keep driving instead of pulling over, and that decision could be dangerous, even deadly. Weak moments can cause us to lose our character. Esau had a lot of advantages. He was the oldest son of Isaac and Rebekah, and thus had the birthright. He was a rugged outdoorsman and a skillful hunter. Unfortunately, he had a flaw that cost him dearly. He had trouble handling weak moments. This flaw was especially apparent when he sold his birthright to Jacob because of sheer hunger. The story of Esau teaches us some valuable lessons about the weak moments of life. Let's consider these lessons today and take them to heart. Praise God. Our Father, we praise you for the gift of life. Your creative power brought us into being and daily sustains us. We thank you for Jesus, who paid the wages of sin and whose resurrection make possible our victory over death. May you find us walking in his steps, obedient to your will, and willing even to die if that sacrifice should be needed. Accept our gifts as an expression of our love for the gift of Christ, our Savior and Lord. In his name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message this evening is coming from Genesis 25, 30 through 32. And it says, Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red porridge, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "See me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And my title for this message is, Watch Your Weak Moments. Praise God. Why must tame physical desires? The first lesson we can learn from Esau's life is that we need to tame our physical desires. Esau allowed physical impulses to dictate his action, and he lived to regret his carelessness. Consider the occasion of Esau's weak moment. Esau had been in the field hunting. When he returned home, Jacob was cooking some stew. Esau was hungry and tired, and that was his favorite dish. He asked Jacob to give him some of the stew, and Jacob refused. Under one condition, could Esau have the stew? He would have to sell his birthright. Listen to Esau's response in Genesis 25:32 in the NIV. "Look, I am about to die. What good is the birthright to me?" Weak moments are inevitable. These are the times when our resources are depleted. Our focus shifts to the temporal and we zero in on satisfying the particular appetite that is nagging us and give little heed to the consequences. J. Wallace Hampton wrote a book called Ride the Wild Horses. The thesis of his book is that God gave us every desire we have. No desire is bad within itself, but it must be controlled by God. So the first lesson here is to allow God to tame your physical desire But there is another lesson. We must treat privileges responsibly. The story of Esau teaches believers a valuable lesson about treating the gifts entrusted to us responsibly. Consider the gift of Esau's birthright. Now, Esau was the firstborn son of Isaac and Rebekah. This was a distinguished position because in those days, the firstborn son had the privilege of ruling the other children. The family inheritance would ultimately belong to Esau as well. Esau had a marvelous privilege that he never could have attained through human achievement. Unfortunately, he disdained his gift during a moment of weakness. Feeling the pains of hunger caused him to treat his privilege carelessly. Gifts are not to be taken lightly. God endows all believers with one or more gifts, and he greatly desires that we acknowledge and use those gifts. We must not disregard them as Esau did. Let's learn to cherish our privileges and to treat them responsibly. So far, we have learned two valuable lessons from Esau's life. We can learn at least one more lesson. We must consider decisions carefully. Perhaps the greatest lesson Esau learned is the crucial importance of moments of decision. The decision we make influences the rest of our lives. Consider Esau's crucial decision. Esau's decision was a momentous one at the time. Stated simply, it was the decision to remain hungry and keep his birthright or to satisfy his appetite and lose his birthright. At the moment, the decision seemed obvious to Esau, but later he lived to regret that decision because he could never get his birthright back. That decision in a moment of weakness can cast a shadow on the rest of his days on earth. The decision of life demands great care. Life brings all kinds of decisions, both big ones and little ones. We should be ever conscious of God's leadership in our lives. Amen? He leads us during our moments of strength and during our moments of weakness. If we look to him for guidance, he will never lead us to regret a decision. I truly hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And my conclusion is this. Do you have a resource for the weak moments of your life? Think about that question. All of us have those times, and we need help from someone greater than ourselves. Invite Christ into your life. He will join his life with yours. Amen. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you do is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church, believers of the Bible. Amen? And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection, because every praise belongs to God.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every word of worship
with one accord. praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise for God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Oh yeah, no, they getting into something over there. So I almost got involved. I got a little bit involved, but then I just backed out.
Yep, that's the best way to do.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
I had to turn the sound down because, you know, when there's no music playing, you can hear a lot of ruckus.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just so crazy. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
When we offline. Yeah, so to God be the glory. I'm glad
Amen.
To be back. It's been a couple of weeks. You know, we still on second place. And we'll continue in it. So let's pray. Dear Lord, dear God, Lord God, we know you are not the God of confusion, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, please, Lord God, whatever Reverend Bowling is going through, Lord God, Pastor, myself, Lord God, just stop it, Lord God.
Yes.
Just take over, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit just take over that situation that's going on there. Because, Lord God, you said in your word, I think it's in 2 Timothy, that we should never argue over the word, Lord God.
That's right.
Argue over the word, Lord God. So God, please work within that situation that's going on right now.
Yes, God.
So Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord God, because you are so awesome. You're so wonderful. We love you, God. We love you so much, and we thank you, Lord God, for all the benefits that you have provided to each and every one of us who have come to accept you as your Lord and Savior. We thank you for that, Lord God. So, Lord God, we ask you to be in the midst of this lesson, Lord God, that everything that we say and do, Lord God, will be pleasing to you, Lord God. Help us understand what it is that you want us to understand about 2 Corinthians, what it is that Paul is saying to his people, which is for us to know. So we thank you, Lord God, for these lessons. And I thank you, Lord God, for Sister Hilda, Lord God, Evangelist Hilda, Lord God, bless her, Lord God, and all of her endeavors.
Yes.
So we thank you, Lord God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know if we'll be able to do this lesson with that.
No.
Okay. You know what? This is too loud, and the recording is picking up everything that you're saying. So,
okay.
I'm going to just try to get a comment or something, because we can't deal with this. No, not today.
Yeah.
God
right.
is good.
Right.
Praise be to God. Thank you for, you know, go and try to put out the fire.
I'm staying out of it, because let me just go in and touch the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
All right, then. Amen. So at this time, unfortunately, our lady Nadine could not be with us this evening. She has a prior engagement. So I am going to play a selection, and then after the selections, I will come back with a word. Amen.
Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Come on, somebody.
His love, only his love. trouble, when I'm sick.
Jesus.
You see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a mold of me.
And no matter,
what the church, his blood
always brings me.
Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustain.
Sometimes you gotta call him.
Jesus,
you gotta call on him.
Sustaining me.
My Lord. Jesus.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour,
sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble,
God is sustaining
trouble on the mind.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you breathe.
Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gerenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion. Because there are many of us inside this man," then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us into them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plundered down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounded countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Amen. Praise be to God. So this man had been demon possessed, but became a living example of Jesus' power. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus told him to go home and share his story with his friends. If you have experienced Jesus' power in your life, are you, like this man, enthusiastically sharing the good news with those around you? Just as we would tell others about a doctor who cured a physical disease, we should tell about Christ who cures our sin. These 10 towns were located southeast of the Sea of Galilee, 10 cities, each with its own independent government, formed an allegiance formed an alliance for protection and for increased trade opportunities. These cities had been settled several centuries earlier by Greek traders and immigrants. Although Jews also lived in the area, they were not in the majority. Many people from the 10 towns followed Jesus. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises of your presence where two or three are gathered together in your name. We ask your blessings on our worship this day in the desires that a new encounter with you will empower us for greater service. Forgive us of anything that makes our worship a religious performance rather than a spiritual fellowship. Liberate us from an attachment to religious traditions so that we can be responsive to the free work of the Spirit. We are grateful for the opportunity to give in support of your mission as it is fulfilled through this fellowship. We pray that our gifts are a true indication of greater sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. The subject of demons have run the gamut in people's thinking. Some people become obsessed with the study of demons, allowing their imagination to run away with them. They see demons everywhere. Some become self-appointed exorcists and set about to rid their world of these emissaries of Satan. They tend to ascribe everything evil to demonic activity. At the other extreme are those who deny the existence of demons, relegating them to ancient mythology or to an earlier era of ignorance and superstition. The ancient Greeks believed that demons were the souls of evil people who had died. Others have believed that demons are the disembodied spirits of a race of people who existed before Adam and Eve were created. The scriptures, however, make no mention of such a race. Amen? No mention of such a race. It is the general consensus of conservative theologians that demons are the angels who revolted with Satan. The close relationship between Satan and angels in Matthew 12:24 and 25 and 41. When you have time, it's a lot of scriptures. You can jot the scriptures down and read them for yourself. Amen? So they are also referred to as unclean spirits in Mark 9 and 25. Whereas the King James Version of the Bible refers to them as devils. The proper translation of the Greek word is demons. There is one devil, but many demons. Amen? My text for this message is coming from Mark chapter 5, verse 8 in the NIV, where it says, Jesus has said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit. And my title for this message is What the Bible Says About Demons. Praise God again. I'm asking you to read the scriptures for yourself. Praise be to God. Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. And the first paragraph, we're going to talk about the nature and activity of demons. Demons do not appear to be omnipresent. That's omnipresent, omnipresent. Each demon can be in only one place at any given moment. Now, the incident near Gadara, when Jesus allowed the demons that had inhabited the wild man to enter the swine, shows that demons can be confined and indicates their lack of omnipresent. In Mark 5, 1 through 13. And also in 2 Peter 2 and 4, though they possesses a high degree of intelligence by virtue of their long existence and experience, they are not omnipresent. Omniscient. O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T. Omnipresent. Amen? B, they are promoters of a system of doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. The doctrine of demons includes salvation through works. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And the denial of the divinity of Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. C, they are agents of destruction, particularly of the bodies and souls of men. Matthew chapter 9, verse 33. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Mark chapter 3, verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 11 and 16. Acts chapter 8, verse 7. D, they are promoters of delusion. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. One of Satan's basic designs is to deceive, and his emissaries, the demons, carry out that design. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 and 20 seem to relate this activity particularly to the governments of the world. Number two, the phenomenon of demon possession. Demon possession is a real phenomenon. Jesus and his disciples confronted it, as did other first century Christian leaders. Nonetheless, not every expression of evil can be called demon possession. B, because believers are not their own, but are brought with a price. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. They are God's property. God is greater than Satan or his demons. Therefore, neither Satan nor his demons can have ultimate victory over believers. They may, however, influence and harass believers. Satan would destroy every believer if he could. C. The Bible indicates that a believer may be delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but the spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Whatever relationship Satan or his demons may have to believers during this earthly life, it cannot be permanent or eternal. Amen? Praise be to God. Three. Paragraph three. The defense against demon power. It is never wise for Christians to dabble in the occult, even on a superficial or entertainment level. All right? So God warned his ancient people about this. And you can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 11. See also the account of the book burning in Acts 19 in regard to the Ephesians. Although astronomers and palm and tarot card readers may not be taken very seriously today, throughout the ages, their satanic influence has been openly recognized, and even deferred to. Today, Satan worshipers and occult practitioners can be found in abundance, in our country and the world. They include government officials, celebrities, and prominent business people who influence many areas of life. Amen? Think about all of that now. B, even more practically, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 27, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. While the Bible does speak of righteous anger or indignation, that That is probably not what Paul was speaking of here. Paul advocated getting rid of angry feelings one may be hovering before the close of each day rather than carrying anger and bitterness into the next day. Hovering wrath gives Satan an opportunity to gain a foothold in a believer's life. Amen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, Christians should always rely on the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, acknowledging that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is a favorite scripture to live by. Amen. And before I bring this message to a close, I just want to say that some openly willful sinners are like this madman. The commands of the law are like chains and feathers to restrain sinners from their wicked courses. But they break those bands asunder, and it is an evidence of the power of the devil in them. A legion of soldiers consists of 6,000 men or more. What multitudes of fallen spirits there must be, and all enemies to God and man. When here was a legion in one poor wretched creature, many there are that rise up against us. We are not a match for our spiritual enemies in our own strength, but in the Lord and in the power of his might, we shall be able to stand against them. Though there are legions of them, when the vilest transgressors is delivered by the power of Jesus from the bondage of Satan, he will gladly sit at the feet of his deliverer and hear his word, who delivers the wretched slaves of Satan and numbers them among his saints and servants. When the people found that their swine were lost, they had a dislike to Christ. Long suffering and mercy may be seen even in the corrections by which men lost their property while their lives are saved, and warning given them to seek the salvation of their souls. The man joyfully proclaimed what great things Jesus had done for him. All marveled, but few followed him. Many who cannot be wonder at the works of Christ, yet do not, as they ought, wonder after him. Amen? Because he is the only one. And my conclusion of this message is, in the light of these facts about demons, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should be alert. Amen? 1 Peter 5 and 8. We should be careful to clothe ourselves with the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. We should always recognize that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should strive to keep ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually strong. You can read that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I hope and pray that this message of what the Bible says about demons was a blessing to you as it was to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please have mercy on me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your Christian walk with the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you and your family. And shalom and good night, everyone. We love you. We thank you, all of our Facebook family, our Twitter family, our YouTube family, our Blog Talk family. May God continue always to bless each and every one in a mighty special way. Good night. We love you. And we're going to leave out on "All Belongs to You" by the Wicked Tones. God bless you, everyone. And good night. Shalom. ID?
Yeah, hello, Evangelist?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just calling you to apologize for my conduct and outbursts.
I don't know what happened. Well, why are you apologizing?
Well, we'd like to get you on, like, long-suffering, and made a point to the pastor that Jesus was long-suffering as part of the, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit, you know.
Yes.
Which, you know, I pointed out to him that, what Lady Nadine pointed out, you know,